Hi, Goodbach, this is Yisachar Wertel. Apologize for the slight delay, had a some reason a connection issue. We are now moving along into the fifth Sefer of the Torah. That's right, we're at Sefer Devarim. We just finished up Matos and Maaseh last week, and now we're at Devarim, which are more than words, right? Devarim means word, it means thing, it means so much more, and I'm just going to tell you just a little bit about that. And in this week's Parsha, the concept of Devarim is not only at the beginning of the Parsha, but it actually fills the entire Parsha and the entire Seder. Now, the root Davar means both thing and speak, as in Diber, and they are, in fact, intrinsically connected. Probably a concept that which you've probably heard many times, as it's spoken about by all sorts of commentaries, and also some more in the more Kabbalistic realm and some in the more practical realm. But anyway, the explanation, can go super deep, and some parts are, way beyond the scope of this Devar. But simply put, what is spoken, both by Hashem and by man, becomes a reality. Words are, in fact, never arbitrary, and there's always a power associated with them. Now, when Moshe speaks of Bnei Israel's complaints against Hashem, he states, "Vishma Hashem et kol divreichem vayiktsaf." Right? And Hashem heard the voice of their words, and he became furious. What does this mean, kol divreichem, the voice of their words? Either Hashem heard their voice, or he heard their words. What does it mean, the voice of their words? So this peculiar phrase occurs only in one other instance, which is in next week's Parsha, when Hashem is pleased at not Bnei Yisrael's request for Hashem to speak through Moshe, but specifically the fact that it says, Ushmaenu va'asinu, right? Which, interestingly enough, is actually the reverse of Na'aseh v'nishma, but that's a whole separate conversation. But effectively, they did say Na'aseh v'nishma, right? They agreed to not only hear everything Hashem and Moshe had to say, but they agreed to do everything that they were told. And at least at that time, they were certainly sincere. Now the pasuk states, "V'yishma Hashem et kol divreichem b'divreichem elai, b'divrachem elai, v'yimar Hashem elai, shmati et kol divrei ha'am hazeh, asher dibru elecha heitivu kol asher dibru." Sorry, I know it's a long pasuk. And Hashem heard the voice of your words when speaking to me, and Hashem said to me, "I have heard the voice of the words of the nation that have spoken to you." See, there it is again. It is all well that they have spoken. Now the word diber here occurs an astounding five times in this pasuk, twice referring to their kol, their voice. Now Hashem always knows what we mean. We pray to Hashem, we make a promise, we simply state an opinion. Hashem doesn't just hear the words that come out of our mouths, but to the voice of those words. What's behind the words? What do we mean? What are we implying? What's in our tone? Right? In a sense, that which we speak actually, in a sense, speaks in turn. It actually speaks itself. Now, the gematria of the words kol divreichem, the voice of your words, is in fact equal to karbanchem, your offerings. Because what you're offering into this world is, I mean, not just your actions, but also what you're speaking. Your words actually become a reality, right? Which is a whole other concept, which if I have time, I'll talk a little bit more about. Now, we know that in the times of the Beit HaMikdash, that way somebody could especially get close to Hashem was through the bringing of offerings, of korbanos. However, prophets such as Yirmiyahu rebuked the Jewish people for bringing meaningless offerings without true devotion or keeping to Hashem's ways. They claim that Hashem doesn't want their sacrifices, but rather wants them to follow his ways and his commandments. More important than the sacrifice is his sincerity. An offering can bring one close to God, and but it could also drive someone further away, depending on the sincerity, right? If you're just like, Hashem, I don't really want any relationship, just take my animal and let it be done with. Like, Hashem doesn't want that, right? Same thing. It's like, obviously, like, you know, if you have an obligation to daven, you need to daven regardless. But, to just do it to get it over with, although, some days that's certainly a temptation, is certainly not far from the ideal. And it's something we all struggle with. Now, some words are, especially if they're not commanded, are just lip service. But Hashem knows the voice within the words. And since the Beit HaMikdash has fallen, tefillah, as I mentioned, prayer has become the stead, what's put in place for offering, korbanos. Therefore, our words, our prayers, can, if we use them in a very shallow manner, where we're really just kind of just spitting them out with really any meaning behind them whatsoever, or we're using them kind of almost like as a pretense, as if chas v'shalom, we could be a fool Hashem. Right? It makes Hashem furious, right? But if we really put the proper sincerity behind it, and Hashem can detect the voice that's within it, the true sincerity, even if maybe we're not pronouncing every word properly, or there's a part that we might skip, but we really, really connect to the words that we're reading, and we really, really, truly have at least some kavana and some connection and closeness, then Hashem loves that. It pleases Hashem, right? That becomes like what they call like a reich nicholach by the kavana, a pleasant aroma, right? Now, there's a second instance where the term kol divreichem is used. It says kol divrei ha'am hazeh, right? The voice, the words of this nation, right? Which is the second, the positive time, the second pasuk that I mentioned. The word for this is hazeh, which is numerically the same as tov, good, right? Although the word hazeh comes up a lot. Hashem shows you that there's actually a lot that's good. Now, Hashem emphasizes these words to a much greater degree when he says hativu kol asher dibru. It is well what they have spoken, right? Hashem says yes. When they speak what they mean, especially if it's in a positive way, it's good, right? Insincere worship was part of the reason, actually, for the destruction of the first Beit HaMikdash. But when speech is not only insincere, but it actually is destructive, that's much worse. And that's what helped destroy the second Beit HaMikdash. It's one thing to just be empty, to have empty words, right? And to say what you don't mean. There's some falsehood, there's just some shallowness. It doesn't really mean much. But when you actually, when you take words for which they're supposed to be these beautiful creating things in which we're supposed to emulate God, and you actually turn them upside down and use them in a destructive manner, that's one of the worst things you can do, right? Hashem knows the voice of our words. It may not be explicit, but Hashem knows. And this still lingers in the Lashon Hara that we still battle with speaking today, right? Which, you know, we're going to hear a lot about and probably in the videos you're listening to prior to or on Tisha B'Av, right? It unfortunately hasn't gone away, and possibly even more so with social media and politics, and people feel like they can get away with a lot more, or, you know, the Yitzhara has more ways to trick us that everybody knows it anyway, it's somebody famous, whatever, okay, it's bad, but it's not as bad as what this person says, right? The Yitzhara finds all kinds of ways to trick us into Lashon Hara, and we have to be super careful. Like, I mean, even, I was just, like, thinking about it this week, like, there were a couple things that I had said this week, and Baruch Hashem, I'm pretty careful, Baruch Hashem, about not speaking Lashon Hara, but there were a couple things this week that, like, probably weren't Lashon Hara, but that I still should have been a little more careful with what I said or how I said it. And, you know, so depending on where you're holding, obviously, for some people, like, they really just need to wash their tongue and not speak, like, any ill gossip or Lashon Hara of any kind. And again, it could be true. It doesn't matter. It's still Lashon Hara. But, you know, for some people who are, Baruch Hashem, doing better about that, sometimes it's just being a little more careful and contemplating, you know, will it have any damaging effect or will it upset somebody? Right, it's important to be kind, generous, and nice to others. That's always crucial. But, you know, we have to absolutely, absolutely take the biggest stance against speaking ill of others, of being saying any kind of destructive words which can inherently damage somebody, on whether it's a physical or a spiritual realm. Right? When a Jew speaks hateful words against another person, certainly a fellow Jew, his words now have a voice, and they can in turn speak back to Hashem and, in a sense, testify about the person, saying, this is what so-and-so said to me. And then, you know, Hashem may not respond to your words in kind the way you want him to, right? So although we may not necessarily feel the pain at the lack of the Beit HaMikdash, it's something that's very hard to tap into. It is very easy to remember when some other parts of the world may have been destroyed by something somebody said, or Chas v'Shalom, something that we might have said, right? Do not be carefree with your tongue. It's important at all times, but especially during these 9 days, to be extra, extra vigilant. Because Hashem hears just not just your words, but the voice of your words. Shabbat Shalom, and have a meaningful but easy fast. Shabbat Shalom.